WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We are taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road. Catonsville on the 27th. If you're hearing this on the backside of that, State Fair and our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation. Just a reminder, last couple days here for 86690 Nation where you get 0% financing for 5 years. You buy two windows, you get two free and 0% financing. It's kind of like a January deal. Take advantage of it, folks. You've been thinking about it, call 86690 Nation. We do lots of things around here, and I don't have this guy on often enough, although he does hijack our radio station each and every Monday between 8 and 9 and noon. Right around lunchtime, Bruce Posner comes on. It would be Terp Talk, but he doesn't just talk about the Terps, of course, but in Terp season, which is about 11 and a half months of the season for Bruce Posner, he comes on Monday morning. Sometimes it's Terps, sometimes it's Lamar, sometimes it's golf, but right now it's all things Super Bowl. And let's be honest, Bruce, this Lamar Jackson thing is the biggest story in sports, really, because it's the biggest contract in the biggest game in advance of the Super Bowl. People are calling me. Lamar is the biggest story in the country in the next couple of months.
Yeah, the story doesn't go away. And have you gotten to the point where you're almost sick about talking about it? I mean, it seems like we've been talking about it on the air and everywhere else for probably a year. Like, it doesn't end. It's like constant. And the debates and all the cryptic messages.
Well, that's why it's not good for them, right? That's why having a deal is better for everybody. Nobody's questioning whether Patrick Mahomes' leg is bad. He's paid and he's going to play this week, right? So that is.
He played on one leg against Jacksonville. So, you know, he'll be there. He's a warrior. He'll be there.
Well, the reason it's been on everybody's conversation is because it's not done, right? I mean, and that leaves it dangling, and then he gets hurt. You know, like it's full of intrigue from the ownership level, the players association level, you know, the owners fighting with each other about guaranteed money, and like it's thick. It's really, really thick.
I wonder how much pressure he feels like from a guy like William Rode, probably the foremost columnist in the country, who says Lamar's representing a move that's so important to the players of the guaranteed money. Because the association, they don't like the contracts where they can get rid of a guy, you know, halfway through. How could they? How, you know, representing their players? I wonder how much that plays into him. I don't think it does. But I think at the end of the day, you can't win without a quarterback. And I just envisioned, you know, the Ravens, give up Lamar to, they're never going to trade him to the AFC. You know it as well as I do. There's no package a team could put together for us to leave him in the AFC where they have to see him periodically. At least the worst time they'd ever see him was once every 5 years if they played for Carolina or Atlanta. To me, those are the two landing grounds. They need a quarterback. They got owners who know, who like want Lamar supposedly. That's where he'll wind up if I had to take a guess. But I still don't believe he'll leave. I don't know why. Maybe it's more out of hope. But you have to forget everything that happened. I mean, people were upset. He didn't play. Was he hurt? Could he have strapped a brace on? That's in the past now. You can't go backwards. You have to go forwards. And I think, in my own opinion, having never given him the tools that you need to win, by that I mean wide receivers who play on the field, not have the credentials and don't make it to the field, but guys who can really do it, he hasn't had that, and it hasn't been fair to him. And you know, he's had to improvise the running. I think a new coordinator comes in here, and look, Nestor, I think whether they pay a free agent, and there's a lot of them out there, or they draft seven, they got to get wide receivers. I know you always need more corners and you need more offensive linemen. This weakness on this team, when you have Mark Andrews going out wide for Tyler Huntley, let's be real, it wasn't fair to Tyler Huntley. You know, who did he have to throw to? Two guys, DeSean Jackson and Sammy Watkins, who nobody in the league wanted. In other words, they were out there without a job, and the Ravens brought him in as if that was going to solve the problem. It didn't solve the problem, and it couldn't get them in the end zone. And we got, you know, they let the guy go who could not generate a fourth and one play. You know, if you said to me, all I got to do in football is figure out how to make it on third and one or fourth and one, there's a lot of ways to do it that the Ravens didn't do. All right. And finally, when they tried to leap over the center by the quarterback, they miscommunicated, or the player made a mistake. And that was that, and it cost us the entire season. So I think they're on the cusp. Why? Because of number 18. I think number 18 is a force like the Ravens haven't had since number 52. He is special. He, from the moment he got to the Ravens, all right, teams could not score against us. It's all, except for Jacksonville, when they had that run in the fourth quarter, they never gave up more than, I think, 17 points to defense, that is. All right, if the offense gives up an interception for a touchdown, you can't blame that on the defense. But I think Roquan and the signing of Roquan was brilliant. All right, it was brilliant. He had to be signed, even, I think, in a way more so than Lamar, because he shores up your defense for how many years? At least 5 years. That's the length of his contract. And I thought it was great. But I believe they're going to sign him. I believe before it's over, there is compromise there. I'm just saying, I don't know how anybody could turn down $133 million if that's the case. But there's a guaranteed number in there that he'll be happy with. All right. And I don't think he likes sitting out. And I do believe in his
heart. You think he wants to play for the Ravens, Bruce?
Yes. Yes, I do. I really do, from the bottom of my heart, that he wants to. Okay. I just feel that way. Maybe I've got it read wrong, but he just loves that thing of being the guy from the city where you don't leave. He looks at Aaron Rodgers. He looks at, you know, all the great guys who stayed with one team. And you never hear him talking about leaving. You hear cryptic garbage, okay? But that's, you know, that's Twitter. If you go by what goes on Twitter, you can't follow anything. You know that more than anybody. But I believe that, and maybe I'm wrong, but I hope I'm not, because you can't win without a quarterback. And I'm 72 years old. I don't have 8 years to wait for a rebuild.
I want to win.
You know what I mean? You think I'm kidding? When you turn 72, that's why I love Mike Locksley. Mike Locksley loves Maryland. He's a guy who wanted to come when nobody else did. He got paid. He knows how to – he's a great offensive mind. Would have been a great offensive coordinator in the pros, but now he makes $4.4 million. He'll never get there. And he's happy, and I love the guy. He's there for hopefully the rest of my life, all right? And I think he's a winner. And I think you need that stability in college. But in the pros, it's what have you done for me lately? And that's why Greg Roman's looking for a job. And that's the bottom line, all right? And let's talk a little Terps, because I want to talk about moral victories, Nestor. You and me don't believe in moral victories, but the Terps had one on Sunday. They played the number one team in the country with a 7'4" center, Zach Edey, who is like, Nestor, when somebody drives to the bucket and he puts his arm out, his wingspan's got to be, what, 10 feet or 8 feet?
I remember Murison. I mean, Manute Bol turned sideways and went away. But these guys that were Tom Burleson, you know, I mean, there were some guys that were really big, much bigger than everybody else. Moses Malone was bigger than everybody else for a little while, right? Kareem was that way, where they were so much bigger than everybody else on the court. But, you know, in the modern era, you know, guys that big, 7'4", it was crazy, right?
Well, you know, what's the funniest thing? You know, I'm a student of the NBA. I love the NBA. Unlike most people who just, you know, watch it when the playoffs come. But I love it. I love to follow the Maryland guys. But I have to tell you, I'm flabbergasted. When you look at NBADraft.net, and that's considered the Bible of the future drafts, all right, you go there, and of their top 60 picks, they're going to nail 55 of them. That's how good they are. Maybe 50, okay? Zach Edey's not in there. How can that be? He's like, nobody in the NBA wants him. I know he doesn't fit the profile anymore for a center. And you know, they don't really look for centers. They want big guys who can go out and hit the three and stuff like that. But I'll take 7'4" any day of the week.
Looking for Dirk Nowitzki, not that, right? Literally.
No,
right?
I mean, listen, they want those kind of guys who are flexible, 6'10", who can run the court and everything. But Zach Edey and Hunter Dickinson's not in there. How can Hunter Dickinson still be in college? How can Zach Edey still be in college? Now, NIL hasn't hurt. these guys could be making $500,000 a year for playing basketball. And that's a tip I'm going to give you. You're going to see more guys staying longer than getting out quicker because of the NIL money. It's there. They're getting paid. And if you can get paid and go back to school for a year and have and hang out and maybe make $300,000 or $400,000, that's not a bad deal, is it?
No, hey, man, the NIL is going to change everything. And I think, you know, I've had a lot of conversations with John Feinstein and, you know, everybody that I bring on the show where we talk college basketball, we talk about the NIL, and it has felt very wild, wild west. It has felt like there's going to be unintended consequences that we can all sort of predict in regard to where AAU went, where bag money went back with Kentucky in the 1980s, that they've tried to, Tom McMillan came on for a little while, a couple weeks ago, and talked about it again. And just there's going to be a lot of bad with it, but there's also going to be a lot of good with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think guys will stay longer. I think there's guys who know they're not going to make the NBA. They think that, well, maybe there's Europe in the future for me, or go to Israel, or go to wherever and play ball for a good salary. Why not stay in college and finish your career and get your degree? I think it's going to work out great for the student athlete. And the great guys are always going to leave anyway. Let me get back to moral victories. So Maryland, Juju Reese played fantastic against Zach Edey. He was 8-for-11 from the field. No, he didn't stop Zach Edey, who had 24 points and 16 rebounds, but nobody stops him. He can't be stopped. When you're shooting down at the basket without jumping, you're very hard to stop when you get the ball underneath the basket. And Matt Painter is a great coach and has figured out a way to make them 19-1. But so Maryland comes back against Wisconsin, a team they really struggled with, had trouble scoring, and they mopped the floor with them, 73-55. So my point is, I think the guys from that Purdue game came back to College Park and said, hey, wait a minute. We just took the number one team in the country to the wire, okay? Why can't we play with anybody? The problem with Maryland is they can't shoot the ball on the road. They don't shoot the ball that great at home either. But they can't shoot the ball on the road, Nestor. It doesn't make sense to me. They're 0-5 on the road. They, except for Purdue, it really hasn't been like games they could have won. They never really had the ball.
Well, Purdue's a different place for a 19-year-old kid, right? I mean, I went in there as a 45-year-old a few years ago. Luke and I drove down from the Combine to see the Terps play. It was a really good Terps team, too. It was a Suleiman Terps team. It was, like, serious. In the middle of February, 10 degrees outside, all of that. That is as intimidating a building as I've ever been. Of all the things I've done recently in my life that were sort of sports bucket list things, things that I didn't realize, man, that was cool. Going there was unbelievably cool. Like, have you been, right, to Mackey?
I've been to Mackey, and I want to tell you, first of all, it's not an arena, it's a barn, okay? And it's got that concrete ceiling, and the noise bounces all around. You can't hear yourself think when the fans
And it's a going. Circle. So if you're shooting in it, it's got to just mess with your depth perception. It's got to mess with your depth perception, all of it. It's a weird building to play in. And then they get this thing going here, and it's crazy, right? Literally, right?
3-for-21 from the three-point line for the Terps.
Speaks for itself.
So that you don't have to go any further than that. I mean, it's horrible. And that's why they lost by 3 points, all right? Which means their defense was great. They frustrated them as much as possible. They took away everybody else. You take, you know, without Edie, you know, nobody else did a thing for Purdue, and they're coming back to College Park. That's one you ought to go to, man. That's one you ought to drive down for.
Nice.
Because that's going to be a great one. I think it's not till the middle of February, but that's one that, Nestor, you should go. Because I know you show up there once in a while.
I do.
And I think you would. I think you'll have a lot of fun with that.
I almost went on Wednesday night for the Minnesota or
the weather was too bad.
Wisconsin game.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even weather. A friend of mine offered some tickets, and I had another friend, and we decided to have lunch. And he's a real Terps guy, so I would have taken him down. We actually talked about it at lunch. We're like, "Eh, should have gone to Terps game." It's like, "Nah, this is easier." And his daughter plays basketball and all that, so we took it down. Bruce Posner is here. Terp Talk. He is my dude on Monday mornings, 8 until 9 and thereabouts, and then of course at lunchtime again on Monday. You can find him at Terp Talk on the Twitter thing and find him at terptalk.com. And What else is going on with you? I mean, did you have so the Lamar thing? You think that ends with them signing Lamar? That you really
Yes,
believe that?
that's my opinion. All right, let me go on real quick. Very important. Bruce Laird's on my show. I'm sure you listen to him. He's great. We do the show every.
Hey, when I show you this, what do you think of? When I show you this right here, what do you
Johnny
think of?
Unitas.
All right, there you go. All right, good enough. My cold belt buckle.
So, Bruce Laird's on the show. He does the commentary. We're on a post-game show after the Ravens game on every you know Monday morning at 8 o'clock, and then again at 12. And then once football's over and it's coming to an end in 3 weeks, I go from there with Maryland and everything else that is there. And it's a great show. You've afforded me a great opportunity, putting me on even before yourself on Monday morning. And it's worked out great. Got a great audience, good following. And one thing's coming up that you know is right here in my heart that I love. It starts in February 4th, all right?
Too damn cold to throw a lacrosse ball. Come on.
How'd you know that's what it was?
Because I know. Because you got 48 dudes sitting behind you celebrating a lacrosse championship, you
Let
know?
Let me tell you something.
People thinking you're a basketball guy or a football guy. Not really. I mean, you're sort of maybe resigned that they're never going to win a national championship in football, that maybe you'll live long enough in basketball, but you're damn well convinced you can win 10 more lacrosse championships.
There's no
right?
doubt. And the greatest coach in the world. We had the greatest team in the world. We had a show about that with you. The greatest team ever, in my opinion, arguably the greatest team ever. And this guy reloads. So many guys graduated last year. You lost a tour time winner. You lost, you know, 3 25-year-old guys because of COVID. I mean, it was a special team that came together, and somehow or another, Tillman puts a team together that's preseason ranked number 2. A lot of people have them number 1. Until somebody beats them, they'll be number 1. And all I can tell you is, you say, well, he picked a softer schedule. He didn't pick a softer schedule. He's got the hardest schedule that you could imagine, Nestor. In other words, week after week, he's going to Loyola to play Charlie Toomey. He's got Syracuse coming into town. He's got Notre Dame coming into town. He's going to UVA, the number 1 team, supposedly. This guy just, he lives, dies, and breathes Maryland lacrosse. He's the greatest proponent a school could have for a team. And listen to me if you want to hear about a great team every Monday morning, because I promise you I'll be covering it. And I can't wait for the Orioles. I think you're the same way. The Orioles excited me last year. Yeah, the offseason's been not too much going on. But, you know, when I think Gunnar Henderson and Adley got so many great things to talk about the whole year, that when this Lamar thing finally settles and we don't have to talk about it again, whatever happens, all right, there's so much going on. And that's why I love that 8 o'clock show on Monday, because I wrap up everything. I do it at 1 o'clock in the morning, and you can attest to that. All right.
Oh, it's the technology allows us to be as fresh as you want to be at 8 a.m., right? Like, I mean, Luke and I get out of bed at 5:30 every Monday because we want it to be – we sleep on the game usually. You know, usually we like because of injuries overnight, but we do our thing early in the morning, and it's been a wonderful relationship over the last 5, 6 years with you, and certainly over the last 9 years since I've switched the format. And I know our audience loves it too, and they rely on you being there Monday and sometimes at lunchtime too. Sometimes we get you a little behind around 12:15, but you're always on at lunchtime. And, hey, man, I sang the Baltimore Colts fight song with Dennis earlier because we got into, like, talking about championship games and how they're trying to take the championship game away, and we haven't had one here since 71, like all that stuff. But I could sing the Terps fight song. Maryland, we're all behind you. You like that?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Pretty right. good.
Bruce, I will see you on Monday morning, and come on a little more often, man. We're, you know, this Lamar thing, there's going to be a lot of twists and turns in this thing before it's solved.
Well, when it's finally solved, I'll definitely want to be on with you. And let's do a mid-year lacrosse report, and I'll give you an update as to what's going on as the Orioles start their season. But, Nestor, it's always a pleasure being on with you, my friend.
Where's Final Four this year, lacrosse, so I don't have to look it up?
What's that? I'm sorry?
Where's the Final Four this year, lacrosse?
Final Four, very easy, Philadelphia.
Yeah, championship right. games. As long as they're greasing the poles down on Sunday night, I'm a little worried about those people up there. Bruce Posner can be followed at Terp Talk, out on Twitter, as well as on terptalk.com, and here at WNST each and every Monday at 8 a.m. and again right around lunchtime. Terps, lacrosse, Lamar, Super Bowl. I've had some great stuff going on this week in the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out at State Fair in Catonsville. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.